Wednesday, November 4th, here on radio.dominican.edu, and you're listening to Country 101 with yours truly, DJ Rodeo. Now, last week I wasn't able to do a show, but if you did tune in to Penguin Radio, DJ Sizzle and I hosted Soul Candy 13, which was so much fun. If you're unable to attend, there will be a Soul Candy 14 here at Dominican next semester, so stay tuned for that. Tonight, our volleyball team takes on BYU Hawaii right after my show, so good luck to our women's volleyball team. Now, just a refresher, every week, Country 101 is bringing its listeners news on their favorite celebrities and maybe even some just starting out and telling you all juicy stories that's going on in the country world and even some events that are happening all around, like some concerts that I tell you guys about. So if you enjoy listening to me every week, please continue to tell family and friends to listen to me every Wednesday from 6 to 7. And to start off my show, I was going to talk about some jobs with some of the artists. Have you guys ever wondered where some of the artists worked before becoming superstars? Now, I definitely did, because I know they just didn't wake up one morning and boom, started producing music. So I looked up some country stars and their first jobs. And the first one I saw was Kelly Clarkson, and for one of her many jobs that she had, she was a vacuum cleaner saleswoman and a telemarketer. So she also moonlighted as a cocktail waitress, and she was one of those women who go from bar to bar hawking energy drinks. And I don't know why, but I, like, for some reason could totally see her doing, like, that job from, like, walking from bar to bar, but I don't know, maybe I just think, like, her personality works best for that. So that was her, a couple of her first jobs. And Blake Shelton probably had the most boring pre-fame job I think I've ever read about. He dubbed tapes, that's cassette tapes. And I had to look this up, to be honest, because I wasn't sure what this meant. But I do remember cassette tapes because I think I, like, had a few years where I was, like, able to listen to some of them. But my younger sister, I think for sure, probably didn't know what cassette tapes were. So sorry about that, younger sis. But like I said, I didn't know what dub meant, so I had to look that up. But I guess you learn something new every day, so I learned that. And Reba McEntire was a cowgirl who helped her father turn bulls into steers. Now, brace yourselves, this gets a little crazy. I read she would stand behind the bull and held the tail while her dad sliced the sack and cut the cord and let the testicles fall, and then she would put the testicles in a bucket. Now, that just sounds terrible. Count me out on that first job. I would probably quit, like, my first day. Not really a big fan of all that. I'm sure she was definitely glad her career kicked off, because I couldn't imagine that as my first job. My first actual job was actually a hostess, so I think I had it somewhat easy compared to Reba, that's for sure. Now, the beautiful Faith Hill worked at McDonald's and then ditched that job and got a job behind a desk at a publishing office. Now, that second job is pretty nice compared to Reba's. I would take an office job over Reba's job any day, for sure. And Dierks Bentley had hands down the best job, I think. His job was emptying houseboat toilets. Yes, houseboat toilets. Say that 5 times. Definitely couldn't do that. And he would have to clean them out after they'd been on the water for a few days, weeks, and even longer. Now, there's a first job for you. Imagine the people that, like, go on houseboats and probably, like, for parties or vacations. So I'm sure that's some fun for him, poor guy. And the last one I read about was Toby Keith, and his job has helped him with a few songs, actually. He worked at his grandmother's bar and watched some of the bands play there, and he was actually hoping for something more crazy like Reba's job, but working in a bar probably has some crazy stories in it in itself, I'm pretty sure. So, but that was just something I wanted to share with y'all before I get into the celebrity gossip and artists and their music tonight. So the top 40 country songs came out for November. Yes, it's November. Time flies, and pretty soon it's going to be Christmas. But first, Thanksgiving. Super excited for a Thanksgiving feast. But back to country before I go on talking about food, because I'm so hungry. I think it's dinner time pretty soon here for DJ Rodeo. But the number one song on November's list of top 40 country songs made it to the top in just 2 months. Now, I told you guys, the minute I heard this song, it was just going to be a huge hit. I fell in love with it, and I knew everyone else would. And the song may only be in the top 20 on Billboard's Airplay chart, but strong sales and overwhelmingly strong critique and fan approval bolster this artist's cut above it. Hits from Cam and Old Dominion and Carrie Underwood were also on the top 40 list as well. Very few newcomers were added to the month's list. George Strait, Cold Beer Conversation grabbed the highest debut title, while independent artist Kane Brown makes his top 40 debut with Used to Love You Sober, a song that reached a high as number 2 on the week-to-week iTunes chart. Brown shot to fame with covers of classic and temporary country songs on Facebook, and I hadn't heard about him until I saw this list and listened to one of his songs, and he has a really deep voice, so I didn't get hooked right away, but his new single shows where he's headed as a solo artist, and I see nothing but success in his future, and maybe I just need to listen to a few more of his songs to get used to his voice, because it just kind of caught me off guard. I couldn't focus on the lyrics because I was too thrown off by his voice. But Luke Bryan, Strip It Down, was last month's number one song, but he slips to number 6 on the November 2015 list. Brothers Osborne, Randy Houser, and Chris Young all move up significantly on this next to last chart of the year. Now, I'm not going to give you all 40 because I'll be here all night, but I will tell you the top 10. So, like I said, the number one was a popular one, and it's by my boy Thomas Rhett, and it's Die a Happy Man. So happy to see him at the number one spot, and it happened within just 2 months, so that's crazy. I love it. Can't believe 2 months has passed since I first heard that song. And number two is Burning House by Cam. Three is Old Dominion, Break Up With Him. Another one of my favorites. Love that song. Ashley and Amanda, who I had on my show a couple weeks ago, introduced me to that song last year. And four is Smoke Break, and her album actually drops this Friday, Carrie Underwood, so be ready for that one. At the five spot is Chris Young, I'm Coming Over, and his album also drops soon on November 13th, which is next Friday. That song is super popular right now. A lot of my friends who like country say that's on their top list of country songs. It's definitely on mine. And number six spot is Luke Bryan with Strip It Down, and I don't know why, but I'm not a fan of this song. I love all Luke's songs usually, but just not this one. I don't know if it's the beat or the rhythm, but I'm just not a fan. Maybe I need to listen to it a little bit more. And number seven is a song I talked about 2 weeks ago, and it had a controversy with its music video, Brothers Osborne, and I always thought it was Osborne Brothers, but I realized I was completely wrong on that one. And their song was Stay a Little Longer, which I'm a huge fan of right now as well. And number six is the Sam Hunt Breakup in a Small Town, another song that is on my favorite list. I have a lot of favorite songs right now. Number nine is Florida Georgia Line with Anything Goes. And 10 is I Love This Life by Lo Cash. So if you want to know the rest, you can definitely go on tasteofcountry.com. They have the top 40 list for you guys. Other songs in there was Hunter Hayes, 21, the band Perry, Live Forever, which I talked to you guys about that a couple weeks ago, and Rascal Flatts, I Like the Sound of That, and Dibs, which I love all. So check out that list if you're interested on more. And next, artists and their songs. So I was reading that Rascal Flatts teamed up with singer and actress Lucy Hale on Frozen's hit single, Let It Go. And I didn't know if I was reading this right, but I definitely was. On the four-minute song, Hale trades verses with country trio on the Oscar and Grammy-winning song from the 2013 film. The duet is a part of the compilation album, We Love Disney. The album features Disney classics sung by artists from multiple genres, including Ne-Yo, Jessie J, Jason Derulo, Gwen Stefani, Rascal Flatts, and Cassie Musgraves. And earlier this month, Musgraves released her Mary Poppins cover of A Spoonful Sugar and raved about the experience and said it was awesome and really enjoyed it. It's kind of this really fun Western swing, like for Disney, she shared with spin.com. And she said there's bird whistling, and it's so fun. It was one of the funniest things. I do love getting outside of my world and stepping into a challenge like that. She said there's something very classic about those songs. They weren't written to appease today's generation or the next one. They're just the songs. I listened to the song with Rascal Flatts, and it was really good. I already love Frozen, and I love Rascal Flatts, so them together was a perfect version, and I just fell in love with the song even more. Yes, I own Frozen on DVD, watched it on repeat when it came out first. I love it. So it's been nearly 18 months since Justin Moore made an impact at radio with an original song, and one remembers what he was missing while listening to You Look Like I Need a Drink. The first single from an upcoming album is Simple, Clever, and Pure Country. Moore's found a nice lane to work in by matching traditional country themes with more modern production. Rock guitars and heavy percussion bolster the Rodney Clausen and Natalie Humby penned lyric. It picks up where the Let in the Night Roll and Point at You left off. Those are his two other songs, if you didn't know some of his songs that he sings. And You Look Like I Need a Drink finds a man on the brink of getting his heart broken. Moore relies on that anxiety familiar to all of us. He says something like, we need to talk but won't say why. Then you meet and the greeting is forced. Some of the lyrics I have here are, been a little over a year since you were standing right here, and I was nervous for a whole nother reason. Now it's a little bit hard being this caught off guard, watching you try to not hurt my feelings. He adds that to some of his verses. It's definitely a clever title that feels like it should have been written before. And let's see what else I have here. Scotty Mercury is opening up about his new song, 5 Minutes, when he was in his hometown of Raleigh, North Carolina. He shared some of the new tunes from his upcoming record, including one particularly special tribute. He debuted a new ballad title called 5 More Minutes, one of the 5 songs the artist co-wrote on the record. Now, I read on Taste of Country, he said, this has become probably my favorite song I've ever written. Mercury said to the crowd that before beginning the tune, explaining that he lost his grandfather, someone very close to him, in January, the song is something nearly everyone can relate to, especially if they have lost a loved one. It's about that deep longing to have a little more time with that person, even if it's just for 5 minutes. A rep for Mercury tells Taste of Country that meaning of 5 More Minutes extends beyond time with a loved one. It's also about having 5 More Minutes when you're with your girlfriend, or 5 More Minutes when you're playing your last high school or college sporting event. It's all about wanting 5 More Minutes to be with the people you love and or enjoy those special highlights of life with. Love the meaning behind this song. I couldn't agree more with the 5 More Minutes. I think I said 5 More Minutes within like 10 seconds right there. That was pretty crazy. A little tongue twister. McCreary performed the very personal tune with passion and genuine feeling, and the moment was made even more special because his grandmother was in the audience that night. Scotty has been gearing up for the release of a new record, but details have yet to be unveiled. His first single, Southern Belle, was released to radio earlier this year and was a bit of a shift in tone for Mercury. I know I played that song for you guys. I hope you enjoyed that one. The edgier style suits him, though he said it's probably as far left as he'll go. He's been working on an autobiography with author Travis Thrasher titled Go Big or Go Home, The Journey Toward the Dream, which is set to release May 3rd, so we have a little bit of time for that one. So don't worry, I'll keep you posted on May 3rd. I like Southern Belle. It's definitely different from his usual songs, but that's what makes an artist popular, I think, is how they can work out of their comfort zone to produce songs that they would have never thought about singing before. And this next artist I love and can't wait to see her on the CMAs tonight. Carrie Underwood shares one of 2 bonus tracks from the deluxe edition of Storyteller in a video released to fans on last Thursday, October 22nd. Little Girl Don't Grow Up Too Fast is a mid-tempo, feel-good country cut that hurts just a little bit at the end. I love it. I listened to it for the first time last week and fell in love with the lyrics. The song serves as a reminder to her longtime fans, as well as advice to their kids or her youngest fans. Underwood relies on personal experience to deliver the song's message. She said, I really would go back if I could and tell myself to slow down a little bit. Hopefully this song will be a reminder to just take it all in. A stripped-down version of Heartbeat is the other bonus track included on the deluxe edition of Storyteller. Her album came available Friday, October 23rd, and Underwood says she purposely stretched her song on this album, her fifth since winning American Idol in 2005. Producer Jay Joyce was brought in to push her creatively and to ensure she wouldn't be pigeonholed. Now I want to play Little Girl, Don't Grow Up Too Fast, so here it is. I hope you enjoy it. I really liked it, and I think it's going to be a very popular song for her.
Little princess, summer flowers in her hair, playing ring around the rosy in the picture there. Tiptoeing around the house in her mama's shoes, coloring her lips red in her bedroom. Yeah. Prom queen wants to be like the magazines, thinks she found her king, barely 17. Too much that the world.
Be one of my new favorite songs. I definitely want to buy her her new album so bad. I've listened to most of those songs, and they're so good. Definitely going to be a successful album for her. But another song that will be on my favorites list is Brett Eldridge's new song, Drunk on Your Love. Like a man in love, his performance is bold and convincing. The idea of being drunk on one's love is hardly new to the format, but Eldridge's interpretation is no less sincere for it. The song aims right down the middle of what fans and radio have come to expect from him, and it should easily become another big hit, just like all of his other songs. And I also want to play this song for you, too, so we're going to go back-to-back on songs tonight.
The second she walked through the door, I caught a buzz. One taste from your lips knocked me out just like a drug. The rest of the night's kind of blurry, now the sun's peeking through the shades. I can't help but laugh, cause I kind of like feeling this way. I woke up, still drunk, drunk on your love, love. It's all about the touch and the fire in your eyes. It gets me fumbling, always stumbling through a haze. I got plenty to do, just laying here with you all day.
Good. I have a feeling I'm going to be right about this song, like I was with Thomas Rhett and Die a Happy Man, that this song will be really popular and make it to some top list for sure. I'm telling you all right now, I'm going to be right. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu with DJ Rodeo, giving you the latest gossip in today's country world. Now, I did mention the CMAs are on tonight, so I have to hurry home after this so I can catch it and talk all about it next week with my listeners. But I can't wait for Brad Paisley and Carrie Underwood being the host. I'm sure it's going to be a night of comedy between the two. Some of the jokes she has taken part of gained plenty of laughter from those in attendance and the audience back home. In previous years, Paisley and Underwood have poked fun at Blake Shelton, of course, Dolly Parton, Taylor Swift, Tim McGraw, excuse me, Coldplay and Ariana Grande, and plenty more for sure. I feel like they try and get everyone, or as many as they can. Can't wait to see what they say and joke about this year. I'm sure the divorce between Blake and Miranda will be a hot topic, but there's been so much going on with country artists in today's world. I'm sure they won't have a problem with the jokes this year. This year's CMA Awards are the 49th annual, and they promise to be larger than life, so I've read. Brad Paisley and Carrie Underwood return as hosts once again this year for the 8th time. Big names like Kenny Chesney, Miranda Lambert, Luke Bryan, and Eric Church are just some of the performers. And it was recently announced that Chris Stapleton will be joined by his friend Justin Timberlake for one of the most interesting collaborations of the night. So I'm super excited. Can't wait for that. And staying on Brad Paisley, I listened to the weirdest duet ever, but somehow I think it worked. Brad Paisley joined Color Me Bad Monday night on Jimmy Kimmel Live for the return of the late-night talk show host's popular segment, Mashup Mondays. Before the cameras panned to the stage, Kimmel introduced the performers as Color Me Brad, which was fitting for what had happened next. The country singer joined the boy band on the stage, all dressed in leather jackets, and traded verses with the group on their 1991 hit, I Wanna Sex You Up. Paisley then took the spotlight towards the end of the song with his own spin on the band's slowed spoken word portion. Brad didn't take part in the dancing with the others, but he looked comfortable sharing the stage with, of course, his cowboy hat and red guitar in his hand. And there's even talk Color Me Brad might make an appearance tonight at the CMAs, so maybe be careful for that. So Taste of Country has some predictions on the CMAs this year, and I was reading some. And it says, Entertainer of the Year might be going to Garth Brooks. But I don't know about this one, because he's going against Luke Bryan, Kenny Chesney, Eric Church, and Miranda. So I'm not really sure on this one, but female vocalist prediction is Carrie Underwood. And I can definitely see her taking that one home for sure. Miranda has won it several years, but Carrie Underwood's last few songs, Something in the Water and Little Toy Guns, were very powerful vocals. So that's going to be a tough one. And male vocalist is Dierks Bentley, so they're saying. He's going up against Luke Bryan, Eric Church, Blake Shelton, and Chris Stapleton. So seeing all those other artists, I think their prediction may be right, but we'll see on that one. And album of the year prediction, they say, is Chris Stapleton with Traveler. I think he's fairly new because I have not heard much about him, so maybe that's why he'll receive this award would make sense. And new artist of the year, they say Sam Hunt, but he has competition, I think, with others for sure, so that'll be interesting to see if he takes that one home or not. Gosh. Now, song of the year should definitely go to Little Big Town, Girl Crush, 100%. And single of the year, they also are saying that Girl Crush, and even for vocal of the year, Taste of Country said Little Big Town again. So we'll see how that one goes. We talked about music videos a lot a couple weeks ago. And the music video of the year, they say, may go to Maddie and Tay, Girl in a Country Song. But I've never seen this music video, actually, to that song, nor of the other nominations have I seen their music videos. Like I said, I wasn't really a big music video kind of gal, so... But now I'm curious to see which artist goes home with which awards. But congratulations to Carrie Underwood. Her latest album, Storyteller, topped Billboard's top country albums charts this week, making her the only artist in the chart's 51-year history to have her first six albums debut at number one. Underwood now joins the ranks of iconic country vocalist Reba McEntire and Dolly Parton for having the most albums debut at number one on Billboard's charts. Now, according to Nielsen Music, Underwood's album sold 177,000 albums, units, which includes traditional album sales, track equivalent sales, and streaming equivalent albums combined. Let's give you a little statistics on that. Underwood co-wrote six of the 13 songs on Storyteller. The record was released on October 23rd, and it's the highest-selling debut by female country artists this year. Last week, the Smoke Break singer announced the Storyteller Tour, Stories in the Round. Underwood will kick off the road show in January, inviting Easton Corbin and the Swan Brothers to open. Underwood, in a press release, said, "I'm so blessed to have this career and get to do the things I do, but there's nothing like that moment when I get to step onto that stage to sing and all the fans are singing along with me. Such a good album, I'm telling you. I listened to some of them, like I said, but I just want to own the album already. I want it in my hands." But now, Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton are speaking out after they were reportedly spotting holding hands at a party together over Halloween weekend. But right before I was starting my show, I went on Twitter, a little quick, get some information in, and I read that they announced that they were dating. So this is kind of interesting. I'm not really sure what's going to go on tonight, but we'll see what happens within the next couple weeks. But Entertainment Tonight reports that two singers came out of actor Jared Leto's Halloween party hand in hand, both leaving in the same car. They were also spotted together at Adam Levine's party. E! Obtained some blurry photographs that they claim are evidence that the two are actually a couple. When pushed by Ryan Seacrest to talk about Shelton's Gwen Stefani deflected, "I'm not going to answer that right now. Ryan, I think I've given enough of myself this morning to you," she said, adding of the country singer, "but I think he's hot, don't you? But to be super honest, it is kind of crazy. We both went through the same thing at the same time. There's been so many people that I've gotten so much comfort from, just people coming to me and telling me their story, not confiding, but sharing, which has just helped me to see things from a different perspective and move forward." She said, "We're just trying to have some fun." In an interview on a radio show with Carson Daly, Stefani announced her divorce from Garvin Rosedale in August. The couple were married for 13 years. She was... Excuse me one second. She says she was just blowing off steam over the weekend. She said, "I was literally that party girl that you hear about when their life blows up and they're like, oh, I'm just going to go out. Watch me." She says, "Life is crazy. My life basically blew up in my face and now I'm like in this new life and it's pretty awesome," she said. Rumors that the Voice judges are dating have been swirling around the internet and tabloid press almost since the moment Shelton and Miranda Lambert announced their divorce in July. He addressed those rumors. Oh my goodness. Losing my voice here. He addressed those rumors in response to a comment on Twitter from a fan who posted, "No offense, but I'm sick of hearing about Blake Shelton's personal life. Never thought I'd say that. Hashtag biggest fan. Hashtag next. I remember mentioning them on my show and Blake getting mad about the rumors, but now it seems like they may be true, so he had no right to be mad. Sorry, Blake." But Chris Jansen released his debut album, Buy Me a Boat, on this last Friday, October 30th, after more than a decade of fighting his way into the country scene. After two failed label deals, he found himself on Warner Music Nashville earlier this year, thanks to the success of independently released song Buy Me a Boat. The song has since gone on to number one on the country charts, giving the singer-songwriter his first major success as an artist. Jansen has written for top-level artists like Tim McGraw, Justin Moore, and Joe Nichols. Among others, he told Taste of Country over the phone on an album release day that it feels pretty dang good to have his own material out to the masses. Jansen also revealed some of the more meaningful songs on the album, as well as why it was so important that he wrote all 11 tracks on the release. "The goal for me is to put out music that I believe in," he admits. "That's my personal goal. I can't sing things if I don't write it. When you sit down at dinner with me, I'm straight up with you. I'm that kind of human, so when I sing, especially if I'm going to put it out there and wear my songs on my sleeve as I do, I have to write them. I have to be able to back it up. I can't back up anybody else's story." Now, you don't get to be successful country artists like Tim McGraw without being in touch with your emotional side. And his daughter Gracie's recent journey off to college has brought up a roller coaster of emotion for the star and his wife, Faith Hill. McGraw says the last track on his forthcoming album, Damn Country Music, titled Humbled and Kind, was hard to get through with his recent experience in mind. He said, "I cried through every take," he admits to Taste of Country. "I would try to get myself together and I'd get halfway through it and I would just start blubbering every time I tried to sing a line." The song, he says, is one he's had in his back pocket for years, but didn't decide to record until now. And I remember he was kind of scared to ask her. He said, "It certainly is a letter to your kids in a lot of ways." He explained, when he finally decided he was ready to do it, it was the last track he recorded for the album. And after having to take a break mid-recording for his daughter's volleyball game, he drove back to his producer and he finished it up. The thought of doing the song all the way back to his place, he started to cry. He remembered with a smile, he said, "So I think I got it all out of my system." The title track for Damn Country Music was unveiled earlier in October, and after teasing the new record for months, along with the music video. The record finally drops November 6th and features a duet with Gracie called Here Tonight. McGraw said he was so nervous to ask his daughter to sing with him, but of course she wanted to. Now, this next story is interesting. Taylor Swift is being sued for $42 million over the lyrics to her mega hit song, Shake It Off. R&B artist and evangelist Jessie Graham filed suit against the singer last week, claiming the song, which has been certified 8 times platinum, borrowed the key lyrics to its ultra-catchy chorus from his 2013 song, Haters Gonna Hate. Swift's hit features the chorus, because the player's gonna play, 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 and the hater's gonna hate, hate, hate. While Graham's tune contains the lyric, Haters Gonna Hate, Player's Gonna Play. Now, the two songs have nothing else in common, as Graham's track is a slow jam, while Swift's record-shattering single is an up-tempo pop song. So when I read this, I was a little confused. But regardless, Graham tells the New York Daily News that his claim is valid, saying that Swift's song borrows his phrase 72 times. Her hook is the same hook as mine, he says. If I didn't write the song, Haters Gonna Hate, there wouldn't be a song called Shake It Off to begin with. Graham says he originally noticed the similarity in the songs when he saw Swift perform Shake It Off on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. And he subsequently contacted her representatives to ask that he be listed as a writer on the song and for Swift to take a selfie with him. He claims he was repeatedly ignored, leading him to file a suit. He says there's no way Swift could have happened upon the same phrasing at random, adding that she is definitely trolling him. And he said, at first I was going to let it go, but the song is my song all the way, he explained. Swift has not commented publicly on the suit. She is also currently embroiled in litigation with former Denver radio personality David Mueller, whom she claims grabbed her bottom at a meet and greet before a concert in 2013. Mueller got fired from his job at his radio station after the allegation, and he recently filed suit against the singer for lost wages. She responded with a countersuit last week asking for a jury trial. So some crazy stuff going on with Taylor Swift right now. I realized so much stuff happens like behind the scenes that a lot of us fans don't know if we don't read about it. But I mean, who has time for all this drama? I feel like there's new topics every week with all these artists, but what can I say? I love the country drama. I mean, I have a show about it, so I'm definitely guilty on that part. Now this next song isn't country, but has been talked about so much lately everywhere, and when I saw this, I had to bring it up. Drake's song Hotline Bling, I'm sure you've all heard of it, but have you ever wondered what a Drake song performed as spoken word with a strong Arkansas accent would sound like? Well, country singer Justin Moore gave it a shot, and I listened to it today. Phoenix radio station Nick's convinced the artist to do a reading of Drake's Hotline Bling lyrics, and Moore absolutely agreed. Though seemingly with a bit of reluctance, he clearly was not familiar with the song. Of course, I wouldn't expect him to. But Moore did his best to remain straight-faced throughout the entire performance, but lost it when a particularly hip-hop lyric threw him off, and it was super funny. I laughed my butt off. The artist puts a renewed enthusiasm into the words after that, finishing it out with gusto. After the last line, in true Moore style, he asks, how much more money does this guy make than us? Are you kidding me? Right when I started listening to it, it made me laugh so hard. He didn't sing it, but he just read the lyrics, but that's all he needed to do. I definitely recommend listening to it if you want to have a little laugh. I think Luke Bryan also did something like this with different songs, and it was pretty funny. They have such strong accents that when they sing a rap song, it just doesn't really flow, and they try so hard to stay serious too because they know they sound ridiculous. But it's definitely worth listening to. Now, Brantley Gilbert does not shy away from a challenge. The country singer will be headed out on the road later this year, but it's not just a few dates in the U.S. He'll be visiting the U.K., Germany, the Netherlands, and Australia, in addition to playing arenas across Canada and the U.S. If you're going to take it on the road, do it, Gilbert says in a press release. If you're going to push the music, don't be afraid to put it out there. People around the world get the idea about what we do. These songs are about living life in hard places, but standing up when you do. That's a universal thing, so let's do it. The U.S. leg of the tour begins January 28th, and then he will head to Queensland, Australia, and then he moves on to, let's see, I lost it. I'm not sure where he's heading off to Australia, but after that, he might come back to the U.S., I think. But he said, "This is why I do this," the star says, "to take it to the people. I want to rock hard and tell the truth and see it in their eyes. My fans know what I'm talking about, and they come for that reason. It's not for everybody, but it's our kind of country. And being out in some of the secondary markets, the kind of places I came up, that feels just like home." He's really good in concert. I definitely enjoyed watching him perform this last summer. He has so many locations for this tour, so I hope it ends up being a successful one for him. Now, David Neal dropped a double bomb. Him and his wife, Catherine, are expecting twins. Yes, twins. Not just one, but two. Even better, they're getting one of each, a boy and a girl, in about, I think, 4 weeks, I read. And he said, "I'm as ready as you can be," the singer admits. "It'll be our first children, so having two right off the bat is definitely going to be an experiment. But hopefully, the good Lord blesses him with the ability to care for them." Neal's wife, Catherine, is a second grade teacher in Nashville, and the red light hitmaker admits it'd be nice to have the babies arrive potty trained. "That's the unfortunate thing," he said. "You can't just start out with kids in second grade, you know, potty trained and everything." If Neal's 4 week prediction is accurate, the little Neals will arrive around the 1st of December. Nice little Christmas present. Things seem to be looking up for the country star who long battled depression. If you guys didn't know that, he said, I've learned to not take life so serious and learn to enjoy it, and had a lot of help in doing that. He explained he has his wife to thank, and she's just been there, and there have been so many moments where he wouldn't have blamed her for leaving. And he said, "I think she always believed there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm so happy for them. Congratulations to those two." If you don't know him, he sings "Let It Rain" and "Whatever She's Got." So those are some popular songs of his. So you can put his voice to a name or his songs to a name. So lately on my show, I bring up some music videos. And Kelsea Ballerina talks about her video on Taste of Country. I read she has had a whirlwind of a year since releasing her debut album the first time in May. And her Dibs video gives fans a glimpse into her day-to-day life and on the road, which lucky for her sometimes involves carnival games and funnel cakes and plenty of rides, so that's pretty fun. And Dibs, I'm such a fan of, even though at first I thought it was a little cheesy of a song, but I think it's one of my favorites right now. Ballerina shot Dibs at several tour stops this year, including the York Fair and in South Carolina, another fair that she attended. And in between her performances, the singer can be found shooting hoops and in bumper cars, getting ready for her show backstage, tweeting and taking selfies. Dibs is a newcomer's second single and follows the success of her first number one song, "Love Me Like You Mean It." Now, I also mentioned on my show some pranks. Now, I think pranks on the road must be a super popular thing for country artists. Luke Bryan learned the hard way and shouldn't have posted a picture of Dustin Lynch shirtless, but he did it anyways. During Kick the Dust Up tour, there was a two-day stop in Irvine, California, and the weather was really nice, and Lynch took advantage of the picture-perfect day and decided to tan outside of his tour bus. Now, Brian took notice of Lynch's little setup and took the opportunity to have some fun and expose his tourmate to the World Wide Web. "I'm just laying out against my suntan on, taking a little nap, and I hear something to the left," he explained to ABC News Radio. "Then I hear right behind me, so I jerk around, and Luke's filming me. And then he goes, 'Hey, I just tweeted a picture of you.' And I'm going, 'God, that's the last thing we need out there, you know, is an unapproved shirtless picture.'" Lynch wasn't going to let Brian get away with that without some revenge. So, on the show's tour stop in Chicago recently, the relative newcomer put his plan in action. Brian's big black jacked-up truck is a focal point during his show, using it as an onstage prop after often dancing and performing on it. Lynch decided he was going to crash Brian's party with a truck of his own. So the singer drove a mini black truck just like Brian's on stage while he was still singing. And it happened. I saw pictures. It was awesome. It looked like Luke Bryan took the joke and laughed about it. Didn't seem too mad. Now I wonder what Luke has in mind for Dustin Lynch on this next tour, because I know he's not going to let this one go. Now, Halloween was this last weekend, so I hope everyone had a fun and safe Halloween. I should have dressed up as a cowgirl and say I'm DJ Rodeo, but maybe next year. I actually did dress up as a Girl Scout, kept my vest since I was in elementary school, and everyone asked if it was actually mine, and I said, heck yeah, I saved it. I mean, it was a little small on me, but it all worked out. But some artists dressed up, and Luke Bryan and his wife, Caroline, took Halloween to the next level this year with their costumes. The two decided to dress up as old people, but not just any old people. These seniors had lots of sass, very little class, and a gender reversal role that made Brian's costume in particular a little scary. The country superstar went all out with his getup, including the rollers in his unkempt gray hair, socks in fuzzy pink slippers, pink horned rimmed glasses, and oversized pearls. The artist's beard stayed intact, making his ensemble particularly disturbing. Caroline was the man of the relationship, with suspenders, orthopedic shoes, a cane, and a little bit of extra padding around the torso. The two channeled their characters perfectly for the photo op, and we can only hope they kept it going for the rest of the night. Brian has been knocking out his farm tour dates in between rain cancellation, including Sunday night, his show in South Carolina, which not only made up for the two postponed shows in Columbia due to the rain, but also helped raise awareness and funds for flood relief across the state. The artist recently released his music video for the latest song off his Kill the Lights album, Strip It Down, which hit number one in October. He's slated to kick off the Kill the Lights tour in 2016, but before that, he'll perform tonight at the CMA Awards, which he is nominated for Entertainer of the Year and Male Vocalist of the Year. But my mom, when one year, which she dressed up as an old cat lady, so this kind of reminded me of her costume. It was pretty funny. If you guys can come across the picture, it'll give you a little laugh. But that's going to be my show for tonight. Good luck to the women's volleyball team tonight to get that W. But we'll see you right here next Wednesday on radio.dominican.edu with Country 101. And I'm going to end you guys with a little song. I'm going to play David Neal, Let It Rain. It's kind of an old song, but since I talked about him tonight, I think it'll be a good one for you guys to listen to.
It's hard to find the perfect time to say something you know that's going to change everything. Living with the shame, it ain't nothing like the pain that I saw on her face.